Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Timothy. And Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the divisions of the Bible. And we started in the Old Testament and going through the different divisions of the Old Testament, knowing why we have every book that we have in the Bible that God has preserved for us today. And we're into the New Testament, and we have been in the Pauline epistles. 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible were written by Paul, and they're known as the Pauline epistles. Tonight, we'll be looking at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is the last of the writings of the Apostle Paul. This is a prison epistle. 1 Timothy was not a prison epistle. He was writing to young Timothy to establish him in the ministry, the pastoral ministry. And now we find 2 Timothy is his last letter, and the last letter is written to young Timothy as he is pastoring now. And now that's in chronological order. We still have three more books in the New Testament that Paul wrote, but they were not the last. The 2 Timothy, this would be the last book that Paul wrote before being called home to glory after his execution. And if you will, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to just read one verse to get started tonight on this particular book of the Bible. Now, we're not giving you an exhaustive study at any book. We're just using one service to be able to present some of the things that God would have us to hold on to from each book of the Bible, this being Paul's last letter, being a pastoral epistle as well. But I think that you'll find much here that can be an encouragement to all who are looking to serve the Lord. And it starts out, and we're just going to read one verse because I think this is a thought that Paul wanted Timothy to have throughout the rest of his ministry. And it would be a thought that Paul would have as he would go to his death and his execution. I believe it's still a thought that all believers need to keep on their minds. And so 2 Timothy, chapter 1, let's read one verse tonight, verse 7. And Paul writes and he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What a powerful verse in the Bible that Paul is holding on to at the very end of his life. He wants to pass on to Timothy, and yet it was inspired by God so that all of us could have this verse. He's not given us a spirit of fear. No matter what, we should never give in to fear. It's not of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you tonight, we love you, Lord. Thank you for just how you love us, and Lord, how evident it is as we look to Jesus Christ. God, as we know what you have sacrificed for us. We know, God, that you have given to us the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within us, that brings to us the very power of God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that love that we can feel and we can know that exists no matter what. And thank you for that sound mind that all begins with peace that you can give us. I pray, God, that we would hold on to these thoughts as Paul wanted Timothy to hold on to them as well. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is at the end of his life and his ministry. He's looking back over his ministry. He's able to see all that God has done for him. And what God is now doing for one that he mentored, Timothy, a young pastor boy, if you will. His overall message to Timothy, and that's what we're going to be preaching on for the entire book or letter of 2 Timothy, is to be faithful to God's call. be faithful to God's call. But one of the keys to being faithful to God's call is understanding that we are never to give in to fear. The old devil wants to use a lot of different kinds of fear coming from a lot of different places, and they're all designed to keep you from serving God, to keep you from accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish in your lifetime. And so as we get into this and we study God's call upon our lives and all the different things that are associated with being faithful to that, as we find in 2 Timothy, through it all, and maybe for some time, for the rest of our lives, understand what he is saying, and that God does not give us a spirit of fear. God wants you to serve him with power and love and with the confidence of a sound mind. Well, with that said, chapter 1 is God's call. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is going to help Timothy to understand his call as well as God's call on Timothy's life. Can I tell you that God has a call, if you will, to service for everyone who gets saved? Now, it might change from time to time. You might have missed out on an early call of God to whatever, but God has always got something for us to accomplish if we have life, if we have breath in our lungs, if we're still here on planet Earth. That means that there is purpose for my existence. And only God knows exactly how he wants to work through our existence to the very end. And so it's important that we not get scared off, but that we continue to look to God for the things that we need to be able to accomplish his will for our lives. And that's where verse 7 comes in. But God's call, chapter 1 is all about God's call, and Paul wanting Timothy to know that. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse 1, for Paul it was to be an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This was God's will for Paul's life. And now he is writing to Timothy, and Timothy knows he's an apostle. Timothy is very familiar with the apostle Paul. He mentored him. But as Paul's writing him, it's the Spirit of God that leads Paul to introduce this letter to Timothy for all that would follow after some 2,000 years of those that would follow. And so Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Once I get saved, that I have life in Christ. I have a Christian existence, and God has a purpose for my Christian existence for the rest of my life. God's will for his life, Paul knew it to be an apostle. If you look down to verse 9, chapter 1 and verse 9, now he says, who has saved us? Now he's including Timothy in this, and he's saying to Timothy, God saved us and called us. As God called me to be an apostle, Timothy, I want you to realize that as God saved you, he saved me. That's the first step. And then he calls us to whatever it is that God would have us to accomplish. And it's a holy calling. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. It is something that is holy. It's something that is sacred. It's something that is powerful. It's God's will for your life. How can we not know God's will for our life? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Not necessarily what you want to accomplish in your life, but something much higher than that is what God wants to accomplish through your Christian life. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, look at this, before the world began. Before the world began, God wanted all people to get saved the same way. And as they get saved, to understand that God will have a purpose, a call upon your life. Timothy, likewise, Paul knew this. He's coming to the end of his life, his last letter. And he wanted Timothy to know this until the day he would be called on to glory. It was like Paul, he says, we've been saved. After salvation comes a call. God's call is according to his purpose. His purpose for our lives. What is my call? The question here is, we find that Paul wanted Timothy to know, but can I tell you that God's recorded it for us so that all of us would be young Timothys in a certain way and understand if I've been saved, and that's the most important thing. The most important thing that you can do in this life, however long you live, is to get saved. The earlier in life that you get saved, the more purpose God has for your life every stage. If you don't get saved till the midnight hour, to the end of your life, praise God for that, because some do. Some get saved on their deathbed. Some get saved at the end of their life. They finally realize and come to that place to know that I am lost. I'm going to go to this devil's hell. And can I tell you, the fear of death ought to get you to think about, where am I going to spend my eternity? The reality is probably a better word to use than fear, but the reality of death. What is God's call for my life? I want to be saved. God, as we preach on this morning, it's God's will. God wants everybody to be saved. And God wants you to have what he has for you. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He has a gift ready for whosoever will. He wants you to be saved because salvation is the most important thing, and there's not a call to serve God until you're saved. Once you're saved, and oh, how we need to know that we're saved, we need to look to the call of God. In verse 13, we find that Paul writes and he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So once I get saved, I need to hold on to the fact that I am saved. Because you'll never yield to a call of God if you do not know that you are saved of God. You'll never serve God as you ought to serve God and looking to accomplish what God has you to accomplish unless you acknowledge the fact and hold on to this idea that I am a child of God's. I know that I'm saved. If you know that you're saved, then likewise, after salvation comes a call to ministry, a call to service. If I hold on to my salvation, understanding that I'm saved, and knowing that the Bible is God's revealed will for every believer, then you know what you are to do, even before you understand your call. Did you get a hold of that? If you know that you're saved, the Bible is written to you. It's God's love letter to you. And every born-again believer is to, first of all, know I'm saved based on the words of God. And then as I know that I'm saved based upon what God says I need to do to be saved, then God has outlined in his Bible how I'm to live my life. And the Bible gives you insight into God's will for every area of life. God gives you insight as children underneath the authority of your parents. You're to honor them. God gives you the insight into marriage, into who you're to choose for your mate for life. God gives you instructions on how you're to live every day of your life. All of that is found, and that is something that every born-again believer needs to realize. Once I am saved, I have the Bible to learn so that I might know how to live my everyday life. And as you start putting that into practice, if you start putting the Christ-like life into practice, you have the example of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Word of God to help you to know how you're to live your life. As you start doing that, as you start holding on to that idea of Christian service, God will reveal to you His personal will or His call upon your life. Sometimes it's easier to look back to realize what God's call in my life really was. I'm thinking of a few in this church. I'm thinking of Brother Dave Bowles. Can I tell you, there is no doubt in my mind God's call upon his life was bus ministry. For those of you that know Brother Dave and know how his heart is in the bus ministry, and he's been working in the bus ministry for ever since. I know that they've been married even before that. But Brother Dave, years, 20 years in this church, every week focused on visiting the bus kids and working with the bus children, getting them on the buses and getting them into the church, making sure that they get into the right Sunday school rooms, making sure they get into the right junior church rooms. And he's been doing that year after year, faithful to the call of God. I don't know that he started out by saying, but God's call on my life is I'm going to be a bus worker. No, he just was a Christian. And God did something that was leading to his call. He burdened his heart for a bus ministry. Yeah. And as God burdened his heart for a bus ministry, then Dave just started yielding to that burden. And before you know it, it became part of his life. As a Christian, he just wanted to work the bus ministry. He's been faithful to that call. I think of Brother Steve Ellis. Brother Steve, we just had Officers Appreciation Dinner Friday night, and seeing those that have been in this church for 30 years, 25 years, 20 years, see how faithful they've been. And to start out, I don't know that Steve would have been able to say, I'm called to be a deacon in the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I don't think that was it. He knew he was a Christian and that God had planted him in this church, and he was willing to serve wherever God planted him. Can I tell you now, looking back over, what, 25 years, 26 years of being a deacon in this church? Can I tell you, pretty obvious, it's God's call upon his life. Sometimes looking back and you see how God's worked in your life and how that he continued to work in placing you in different positions. And now there's no doubt he can look back and say, you know, God's call upon my life that was to be a deacon at the Lighthouse Baptist Church and teach a Sunday school class. Can I tell you, we have had trustees that have been a trustee for their whole Christian life just about. And they might not have known that God's called me and I am called to be a trustee. But no, you might not have known that, but you knew you were called to be a Christian and you just started looking to live the Christian life. And now some 20, 25 years later, you look back and you say, wow, God called me to that position. And I've just been faithful to it for 20, 25, 30 years. We seek the call of God. We want to know the will of God for our lives. But can I tell you, that personal call of God, that personal will of God is acknowledged, if you will, as you just look to do what you know God would have every Christian to do. Just hold on to your salvation, knowing that you're saved. And knowing that my first order of business is to get to know who it is I'm supposed to follow after, Christ. You have to know what Christ was like to know how to follow after him. That's just a Christian life. And as you're doing that, God will start working. And God will call you to whatever position that God has for you to serve in. That's chapter one. That's Paul wanted Timothy just to understand his call. And as God's called you, don't let fear keep you from doing whatever God burdens your heart to do. Just know that God will empower you to do it. Yeah. Chapter 2. In the book of 2 Timothy, we find chapter 2 here is Paul writing to Timothy, knowing that you have a call, be committed to it. even before you know it's your actual call. Just be committed to what you're doing, that God has placed you in a position, and just be committed to that position. Verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You're going to find that that grace is sufficient for your every need as you serve me. Be strong in that grace. And the things which thou hast heard of me, Paul writing to Timothy, everything that I've taught you, everything that Jesus taught me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The basic purpose for everyone's call is to advance the cause of Christ. In Malachi in the Old Testament, it was to keep the storehouse strong. They would be faithful to the storehouse and bring in the tithe into the storehouse. They would be faithful to serve as God would have them to serve. It was to keep the storehouse. The storehouse in the Old Testament is the New Testament church that Jesus Christ established and that he works through. God works through the New Testament church to accomplish his will on planet earth. And every born again believer needs to first of all realize that God's call upon your life as a Christian is to support the church. And whenever there's a need, you don't have to feel that's your lifetime call to that need. Just meet the need. And as you continue to meet the need that God opens a door to, you might find that behind that door is his call. Amen. Praise God for the faithful nursery workers that we have in this church. Can I tell you, we would not have been able to accomplish everything that we've been able to accomplish as a church if it were not for faithful nursery workers, faithful junior church teachers, faithful Sunday school teachers, somebody that says, I don't know that this is my call, but I know I am saved and I'm holding on to my salvation. And I know that this is something that's a need in the church and God's placed me in the church. And so I don't know if it's my call, but I'm willing to advance the cause of Christ by filling a position that needs to be filled. Wow. So that we might continue to pass down the same things that were committed to us concerning the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, in doing that, Paul brings out a good illustration, a couple of them actually. The first one is you need to see yourself as a soldier. Verse 3 and 4, chapter 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is becoming a good soldier an easy task? Ask anybody that's been to boot camp. Ask anybody that's had to sit there and have somebody get in your face and yell at you and tell you to do whatever it is they want you to do. Can I tell you, a good soldier is trained. A good soldier is disciplined. A good soldier is armed. A good soldier is ready to obey the orders of the commander-in-chief. Do you see yourself like that as a Christian? Trained, disciplined, armed, ready to serve. See yourself as a good soldier. Verse 15, see yourself as a workman. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learn the Bible. It's very important that you learn the Bible if you're going to be the Christian that God wants you to be. And he says, I want you to see yourself also as a workman, confident in your faith to get the job done. When I take my car to a mechanic, I don't want my mechanic to sit there and say, well, I'll give it a try. I don't know if I can fix it or not. You say, this is a carburetor? He ought to be ashamed of himself, calling himself a mechanic, if he doesn't even know what a carburetor is. Amen. See yourself as a workman. Needeth not to be ashamed. Yeah. I can serve God. I'm going to prepare to serve God for whatever that call might be. I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity I have to learn all that I can learn and prepare myself as a workman. Now, these are just illustrations that we can identify with a soldier and a workman. Know that you have a call. Be committed to it. Chapters 3 and 4, I love this. In chapters 3 and 4, know that God not only has He equipped us for our call, He has given us insight into what's ahead. Chapters 3 and 4 gives us as a soldiers and as workmen insight into what is ahead that we're going to have to face. See, knowing the future will not change the future, but it allows us to be better prepared. We're going into the winter time. Now, we have to somewhat trust those that have studied to be weather forecasters. Amen? they say that little boys who lie grow up to be weather forecasters. But now they have Doppler radar and all the different things, and so they can give us a prediction. Some of the time it's accurate, sometimes, but at least they can see if it's a massive winter storm coming through. We need to be prepared for it. And so getting the warning ahead of time as to what is going to take place in the future, it doesn't change it. It's going to be what it's going to be. But now they say, well, it's going to be, but we're going to let you know what the future holds so that you can be prepared to deal with whatever that might be. That's good information. Those are things that we need to know, especially if you live in Florida and you live on the East Coast. You need to be prepared for the hurricane warnings. Tornado warnings down Tornado Alley, earthquake warnings, all the different things. Are they going to change what's going to happen? No. But it helps you to be better prepared. God has given to us a forecast. And we find that Paul understood this, and he writes to Timothy to help Timothy to be better prepared for what he had to face. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. This is just a forecast. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Timothy, you're going to have to start dealing with it. It's going to get worse and worse, but you will have to. It's going to be worse for you than it was for me, Paul's saying. It was worse for our fathers than it will be for us. And it will continue to get worse for the next generation until eventually the Lord takes the church up, the rapture. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, men have always been lovers of their own selves. But it's getting worse and worse. Covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I think it's worse in this generation than it was the previous generation. Where is this thing going? There's no stopping it. Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good,
Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They choose pleasure over church. Know anybody like that? It's getting worse and worse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Be separated from that because you're different. The church needs to be different because we're not going in that direction. Yeah. It's a warning. It's a warning. If you don't have the warning, you'll go in that direction because you'll just follow the trends. Since we have the warning, we are better prepared not to go that direction. Yeah. Chapter 3, look down 12 and 13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution's been from the very beginning. Can I tell you, it's continuing to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is a forecast. Insight into what's ahead. Chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, churches, having itching ears, that as you hear often will tell you whatever you want to hear. They're not getting their message from God. Their doctrine is not from the Bible. It's from humanism and philosophies. Just a warning of what's to come. Verse 5. But watch thou, Timothy, Lighthouse Baptist Church, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy call, Christianity, ministry. Stay faithful to your call. Know first of all that you're saved. Be a Christian. Just be a Christian. And as you're being a Christian and learning how to be a biblical Christian, you'll find that God will start opening doors and start impressing upon your heart and start leading you to His call upon your life. Because God has a purpose for your life. The moment you got saved, God designed a purpose for the rest of your life. I was saved when I was 8. I've experienced 54, going on 55 years of God's call upon my life. It changed in different areas. When I was 8 years old, it was a little different than what it is today. Can I tell you, even the pastorate, the call upon my life in the pastorate continues to evolve to a certain degree. But I still want to be faithful to whatever that call is going to be today for the rest of my life until God calls me home. God has a purpose for your life. He has a call upon your Christian life. Just be faithful to what you know God would have you do today. 20 years from now, you can look back. If you don't truly understand it now, you'll look back and say, that was God's call upon my life. In Paul closing, Paul also knew of his future rewards. I think it's very important that we read this in verse 8. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We don't fully understand all about the crowns, but I can tell you it is something that you will have throughout eternity, and it will be very meaningful. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto you, Timothy, and all them also that love his appearing. Yeah. Stay faithful to God's call. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. That's 2 Timothy. Be faithful to God's call. That is 2 Timothy. Paul's last letter, sharing these things and God inspiring him to write these things, and was everything that Christianity needs in every generation. Just be faithful to being a Christian and to God's call as a Christian. Father, we bow before you tonight and love you. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've given to us out of this book of 2 Timothy. God, I thank you for opportunity to be able to preach your word and knowing it's what our people need. It's what I need. And I pray, God, that you would continue to work your will in our lives and help us not to allow fear to keep us from doing anything that you would have us to do. Pray that you would just continue to bless our people, bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.